Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And as I mentioned last week, all of those characteristic traits in verse 2, all of those, every single one of those, helps us in this matter of unity. Helps us in this matter of unity. With all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now notice what it says in verse 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Let me talk to you a little bit about this. We started last week in Psalm 133 and of course taught, boy, what a great psalm. And I believe that psalm gives us the importance of unity, taught us the importance of unity. Behold, guess what? The world's watching. How good and pleasant. Unity is important because it makes for a good and pleasant environment which to serve the Lord. Unity is, then it says, brethren. Behold, how good and pleasant. And then it uses the word brethren. Unity is important because we're all part of the same family. And then it talks about dwelling together. Brethren, dwelling together in unity. Unity is important because we spend a lot of time together. Psalm 133 gives us a case for the importance of unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I mentioned last week, you know, that word good and pleasant, that ought to describe every local assembly. I'm just heartbroken. I mean this, heartbroken, that so many churches in America and even in fundamentalism, that is not the character traits that describes that assembly. Why would the assembly, why would a group of Christians be, why would we think it'd be normal for us to be known as anything but that, to describe it? The world's watching the church. The church is full of contention and strife and divisions and bickering and haughtiness and pride and strife and envies. Those are all characteristic traits of the world. That's all characteristic traits of the flesh. And so if we're going to be the right kind of a witness for Jesus Christ, project these things, I like a good and pleasant environment to serve the Lord. I don't want to come to a church every week where there's a bunch of tension, where there's a bunch of hatred, where there's a bunch of variance and strife and envies. That's foolishness. It's silly. And so what we've got to do, each and every one of us has to contribute to this matter of unity, this matter of unity. And so unity is important. And then we came over here, and we read, of course, Psalm 133, verse 2, and we had this picture of Aaron being anointed as the high priest of Israel. The large container of oil broken and poured over the man, the oil being symbolic of the Holy Spirit saturating the high priest. And I think Aaron there, as a man, pictures the body of local believers. And what is it? What is the secret to unity? Unity among believers is possible only as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us and control us, each and every one. I don't know if there's a more important doctrine as far as affecting unity and effectiveness in the church as the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what? Can I say this? You have every right to expect to walk in here on Sunday morning, 9:30, and have a pastor walk to the pulpit who's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every right to expect that. But can I say this? I have every right to expect to walk in here and look out at a core membership that walks into this church filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This is not a doctrine just for the pulpit. This is a doctrine for the pew. Every Sunday school child, my children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, have a right. You have a right to expect that the teacher that walks in front of them this morning is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is not, listen, I'm not talking about, well, I'm saved and the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Well, congratulations. That's a given. But you know what? Just because he's in you does not mean that he's in control of you. And we must surrender constantly to the filling and the control of the Spirit of God. And folks, when we don't do that, guess what? We don't act very spiritual when we're not Spirit-filled. And the old flesh gets in the way and carnality creeps in. And all of the evidences, all of the fruits of the flesh begin to become predominant in the church. Why? Why? Because we're not sensitive to this doctrine. We don't understand and realize that unity in Psalm 133, that this secret of unity is the saturation of oil, the saturation of the Spirit from the top to the bottom, all the way throughout the body of Christ. Now, in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to be done reviewing, we see here the character traits. We see the gold, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit, what he does is his job is to unify us. The one thing that we have in common, all of us, if we're saved, we may have different personalities, backgrounds, upbringings, viewpoints, but one thing we do have as a common denominator is all of us are at least indwelt by the same Spirit of God. Now, we may or may not let him control us, but we all have him. Now, that's the one common denominator. That's the one thing we have going for us. That's what makes us different than the world and any organization, worldly organization. The church is supposed to be made up by born-again believers. And those born-again believers not only have the Spirit of God in them, but needs to be controlled and filled with the Spirit of God. And the more that we do that, the more there's going to be a spirit of unity. Folks, if there's discord, it's not from God. If there's strife, you get in the Bible and show me where the Holy Spirit of God produces these things in the local assembly. Now sometimes what we want to do is we want to let the devil sit on our shoulder and begin to control us, and we want to put a spiritual facade over carnality. And we want to act like the discord that we're causing is for the cause of Christ. It's Spirit-led, it's Spirit-filled, it's necessary for the furtherance of the church. No, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And some things, folks, that we've got to watch for, we've got to look for. One of the things the Lord, twice in the month of December, and I one time when I was away from here and heard a message, and one time when I was here and heard a message, two different times the Holy Spirit said this out loud, I mean strongly in my heart, directed me this message as Pastor Blessed Baptist Church, and I jotted it down twice in my notes, my sermon notes in my Bible. When I listen to messages, I try to listen. If God tells me something specific, I try to jot it down and make sure I follow through with it. But twice in December, and I don't know why, I don't know of anything, I don't think that there's anything. If somebody asked me today, I'd say, you know what, we've got a great spirit. I think we've got the best spirit we've had in the 3.5 years that I've pastored here. But all I know is this. Twice the Holy Spirit of God came to me in December during preaching services and said, you need to, from the pulpit, warn the church against division, against wolves in sheep clothing, against those, listen folks, division and strife in a church never, ever hardly comes from the outside in. It always starts with somebody. And by the way, listen to me, look up here. And you know, this is just us. We're just having church. This is what pastors do for their people. I mean, you might as well relax. This is bothering you. Maybe it ought to bother you for a reason. Maybe you ought to look at some things. But I'm just saying, again, I think things are going great. But I also know the devil. And you know what? Most of the time that I've seen problems start in churches, sometimes it will start from the people in the church that you would think would be the least likely to ever start something in the church. Now, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual growth, but you're never to the point in the spiritual growth where you have reached the spiritual plane where you have the right to begin to cause discord and strife in the church. You don't ever grow to the point where it's not necessary to listen to and follow your pastor. You don't ever grow to the point where, guess what, you need to have your own group to shepherd. Thank you very much. If I need your help, I'll come talk to you. Are you listening to me? Well, preachers, people are coming to me. We've met your kind many times. They've come, they've gone. They cause problems. You know what? What you're wanting to say there is, preacher, I've got people looking to me, not you. Now, have anybody said that to you? No, but if you're thinking about it, I just thought I'd shoot a shot over your bow. people come to you, you know what your answer ought to be? Listen, if it's a question about this church, what you need to do is go see the pastor. I love my pastor. I follow my pastor. If you've got some problem with this church, you go talk to him. You make a matter of fact, let's go right now. Just grab him by the arm. Let's go. And boy, just watch them. They'll just about wet themselves. No, grab him by the arm. Say, let's go right now. Let's go talk to the pastor. If you've got a concern, boy, I want to be there with you, and I want to make sure you get to him, and I'll get you there. Now, folks, listen. What we need to understand is this. I believe God's lining some things up, and I think he's been doing it for some time. Buddy, I have no doubt that we're going to see some things in 2009, and God's going to do some things in this church, and we're just going to sit back in awe. But if you think the devil is not right now trying to stop it, you're wrong. And you've got to guard against it. I've got to guard against it. Every one of us has to stand guard on this thing. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring about unity. The Holy Spirit of God wants to come alongside and say, you know what, let's be of one heart, let's be of one mind, let's be of one spirit, let's go forward, let's get behind the program, let's follow our pastor, let's get involved in ministries, let's do something for the Lord. But the devil wants to come along and say, you know what, let's undermine, let's criticize, let's try to sow discord. Let's get this group against this group or this person against this person. Let's undermine the unity so that we can't accomplish what God wants accomplished. That is something you have to be aware of. And so I pray that you'll take that in the right spirit and that you'll be very cautious and careful about that. We're there in Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 4. I mentioned this, kind of hit a couple of these things quickly. But I want to go and I want to cover six things if we have time this morning. We'll have to keep moving to do it. But I believe that there are what the Bible tells us very specifically, what I call the destroyers of unity. There are things that if we're not careful, if we allow ourselves to begin to do, it damages the unity of the local assembly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Be very careful about this, folks. I believe one of the things, and we touched on this, so I'm just going to touch on it again and then move on to the next thing. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What's interesting, we read back in chapter 4, the beginning of the chapter, and it says, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Then you've got verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, with all malice. Now, folks, those are two different sides of the coin. I mean, if the Holy Spirit of God, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What's that saying? Telling us, that's telling us bitterness grieves the Spirit of God. Wrath grieves the Spirit of God. Anger grieves the Spirit of God. Clamoring grieves the Spirit of God. Evil speaking and malice grieve the Spirit of God. And so what we have to be very careful is that we don't allow these things to become a part of the church. Now, number one, destroyers of unity, unkindness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God at Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness contributes to unity. Unkindness, I'm talking about bitterness, wrath, and amor, and clamor, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. That is a destroyer of unity, unkindness. Now, let me say it again, and then we'll move on. But folks, listen to me. We're here a lot. I mean, depending on whether or not you're involved in the ministries here, there's people sitting in this room right here that 5 days a week are here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on the property doing something. There's people here 6 days a week at Blessed Hope Baptist. There's people here 3 days a week, 4 days a week. And some of you are here 2 days a week, and that's great and wonderful too. But let me just say this. Folks, nobody has a right to come onto the premises here and go up to somebody else and purposely be unkind. You have no Bible basis to be unkind. That did not come from the Spirit of God. You have no Bible basis to come and make some cutting remark to another member just for the sake of trying to hurt them. Making some derogatory comment because you just are bothered by something in somebody's personality or you don't like whatever, and so you're going to make this little hurtful comment. And I'll be honest, there's some things this brain doesn't process, and that's one of them. I can't imagine getting in my car at the end of a Sunday morning, getting in the car and having a big smile on my face because, man alive, I really got two people today and made them mad. I mean, you know, are you saved? Because that's how the old lost world. You know, that's what I dealt with at UPS loading semis on the docks in Chicago. That's what I dealt with going to public school. That shouldn't be what I deal with coming to the local assembly. I mean, that's just, you get a charge out of that? I mean, man, that makes your day when you've hurt somebody else, especially another brother and sister. I mean, I tell you what, I put them in their place. I said this and I could tell, you know. I mean, boy, maybe you made them cry. Boy, that scores even more points. Or discouraged them. Or maybe they don't come here anymore. Boy, you won a real victory, didn't you? You ran them out. That makes you feel good? You devil? You devil? What are you doing? What are you doing? Amen. Now, I'm not saying anybody here is doing that, but if you are, I'm hoping you're getting real uncomfortable right now. You need to get saved or get right. I don't get this. I don't get it. You know, you say, well, Brother Jerry, don't things sometimes have to be corrected? You can correct. You can use kindness in correcting things. There's no excuse to be unkind. And so be careful of that. Be cautious of that. We can get to the point where we think we're doing God's work, and we're not. That grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Let me show you some verses. Now, I would hope that that most of you do this, and I sense that you do. But let me just ask you, if you don't do this, and that's the way you've fallen into the trap of living, let me just ask you to try something. You'd be shocked at how much better you feel after a Sunday service if you got in your car and you could review in your mind that there are two or three people that you went out of your way to encourage, that your presence in the church and in the assembly lifted the spirits of a brother or sister in Christ. See, I don't believe in the fact that, well, I'm not unkind, but I'm not kind. I'm just going to be neutral. I'm just going to walk in, and my best plan is just not to say anything to anybody. Well, that's dumb. The Bible says, be ye kind. That's a command of God. That means if you do not actively show kindness to someone else while you're here, you haven't obeyed the Bible today. So it's not the absence of a negative. It's the active presence of a positive character trait. And let me say this. If we had, I don't know how many people are in this room. I'd say 600-700. But if we had every person in this room, every Sunday, say, you know what, I'm not going to get anything out of the lesson today except this one thing because I need, you know, this is why I got it. But if every person in this room throughout this day and tonight at the service and Wednesday night actively, aggressively participated in the characteristic of kindness, let me tell you what would happen. Every new visitor that walked in that church would sense it. They would just walk around here, and there's no way this many people purposely going out of their way doing kind, helpful things to each other and for each other would not be noticed. And let me say this, it would shock most members or most visitors. No, I'm sorry, excuse me. You don't have a right to just come and sit and be neutral. You have a Bible command to participate in this matter of being kind to other people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. No child at Blessed Hope Baptist School has a right to come in there and be unkind or be neutral. You know, one of the things that we have done, Brother Breiser, let's check this. But one of the things we have done from day one, at least in 1994, and I can't speak for that when I came here, but one of the things Dad wanted me to do, and we do, listen, this whole idea of I'm not breaking the rules, but I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. No, that doesn't work. No. Guess what? You come in with a smile on your face. You participate. You're well, I'm not being unkind. Well, you know what? So what? Big deal. You didn't smack anybody today or trip anybody today or stick your tongue in. You know, big deal. You think that makes you a good Christian? You know, no. You come in and you actively participate. You actively greet the staff correctly. You actively treat other people. You know what? You become a source of good, not just an absence of wrong. And boy, if we do that and train them up in that, by the way, folks, that shouldn't be what's going on just when your kids are in the walls of this building over here. If it's trained that way into them at home, then I won't even have to deal with it over at the school. Are you getting this? What I'm saying is this: the devil is just having a field day in the local church because we've okayed it in our minds not only to not be kind, but in some cases it's an act of spirituality to be unkind, and that's wrong. Okay, where do I have you? Luke 16 or Proverbs 16? Look at verse 28. I want to hit this and move on, but what causes division? Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Whisper. Look at Proverbs 26. Remember that. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there's, Proverbs 26, 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And boy, this is hard. It's so hard to understand the Bible. This is so tough. No, that's pretty plain. You know what? You guys ever had a weenie roast or campfire? If you want the fire to go out, let me tell you how you do it. Stop throwing wood on it. It'll go out. You know, if you got strife in a church, you know how to get rid of it? Get the talebearers to shut their mouths. Talebearers shut their mouths, then you don't have strife. If they keep talking, you're going to keep having strife. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And this is why, I said this last week, but I'm the vowed enemy of gossips. If you're a gossip, I don't like you. I only love you because I have to. I'm commanded to, so I'm going to do it, but I don't like you. No, I don't like you. No, I don't like people that go around hurting other people. I don't like people that just go around and say mean things about other people just to hurt them. Well, I didn't. They're not going to hear it. Oh, Lord. Yeah, because no one's going to repeat your gossip. Yeah, they are. It's going to get back to them. It's probably going to get back to them worse than what you said. Best thing to do is not say anything. And honest folks, you know what? Man, alive, God wants to do something. Bless Hope Baptist Church. God wants to the ministries to expand. Our plan is abounding in the work of the Lord. But you know what's like a cancer in a church body? A gossip. Gossiping. Tale-bearing. It's like cancer. Who are you on the phone with? I'm talking about this week. What'd you talk about? If everything was said by you and to you from your cell phone, I could push a button and we could all listen to it this morning. How many of you would be ashamed of yourself? No, I'm sure glad you got a short haircut, though. You wear the right clothes, because that makes you a good Christian. I don't care how polished you look. I don't care how polished you look. You know what? This is a cancer. It's wicked. It hurts people. It destroys people. It causes new converts to quit coming to church. It causes laborers to cease from laboring. And I'm not getting everybody excuse. Listen, man alive, grow some thick skin. If I quit the ministry every time somebody said something bad about me, I wouldn't have lasted 2 minutes in the ministry. But it hurts people. It's hurtful to the cause of Christ. And I don't like it. I don't. The Bible says in verse 25, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Now, does that ring a bell with you? Yeah. This is one of the most unbelievable verses in all of the Bible. I mean, powerful verses. It ought to make this sin of gossip and talebearing the worst sin. Don't you cry about abortion, homosexuality. Neither one of those sins are called the sin that when it's committed, that person has seven abominations in their heart. There's only one sin. This is the sin of seven abominations. And does that remind you of any portion of Scripture? Do you know your Bibles at all? Proverbs 6, verse number 16. Turn it over and look at it. If you are a habitual gossip and talebearer, there are seven abominations in your heart, and you need to repent of those things and clean those things out and clear those things out. And until you don't, you're never going to get victory over this. I promise you this is true. If you go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." These are the character traits of a gossip. A proud look. Pride is their problem. You know why they can sit up on their little pedestal and look down their nose and critique and criticize everybody else? Because they really think that they're here and everybody else is here. Look at this. A lying tongue. Don't ever miss what I'm going to say next. A gossip is always a liar. A gossip is always a liar. I'm telling you right now. I'm looking at you and telling you. If you gossip, you lie. They go hand in hand. I've never met a gossip that always tells the truth. Because I'll tell you how you lie. You know, when you go to the court, you know, Greg, when you've been there plenty of times. But put your hand on the Bible. And they say, you're a witness. And they say, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and you know why? Because there's three different ways you can lie. And this is what gossips do. So, well, I told the truth. Did you tell the whole truth? See, they're selective in what they want to share. They don't tell both sides. They don't even know both sides most of the time. And they don't tell the truth. Sometimes they just write out lie. Seldom do they tell the whole truth, and seldom do they tell nothing but the truth. You know what they'll do? They'll embellish it. They'll make it sound worse than it was. They'll exaggerate it. You know why? Because they're all about getting a response. They want to see somebody get... Yeah, I got your number. Mm-hmm. So I don't get it. Again, there's some things don't compute in this brain of mine. I keep walking in and seeing the list of things I got to do every single day of my life, and I never can find on that list or trying to complete all these things time to get on the phone and gossip with people. Get a life. Get a life. If you've got that much time that you can spend 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 minutes on your cell phone, get a life. There's people in nursing homes that needs visited. There's people on that map back there that we can't get to their doors. I can't get to everybody's door. There's a lot of good to be done in this world. Okay? So, amen. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, no, I thought that was the abortion doctor. No, that's the guy that takes his wicked tongue and slays somebody that has done nothing wrong. Heart that deviseth wicked imaginations? Yep. Feet that be swift in running to mischief? Man, a lie. I've watched ladies almost trip over themselves trying to get to somebody else because they got a new juicy piece of whatever to tell. I mean, they about sprained their finger dialing the phone. False witness that speaks lies? Yep. And notice this, he that soweth discord among the brethren. And that's what we're talking about this morning. This is why this type of sin needs to have the spotlight put on it every once in a while. Everybody needs to evaluate their hearts. Because I'm telling you what, folks, if we get in the habit that somehow we okay, it's all right to sit around and have a spiritual conversation. Let me share this prayer request with you. I want to ask you to pray for so-and-so. I don't know if you know what's going on. You don't want to pray about anything. You want to spread something negative about somebody. I don't get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, watch this. Let's go there. We're not going to get through these six. There are some things, folks, that are destroyers of unity. I want to hit this next one because I want you to really listen to it. And again, I think the Lord on purpose is letting us touch on some things that is good for us at the beginning of the year. Just to look at and say, hey, let's make sure in 2009, if this stuff has snuck into my life in 2008, let me get rid of it in 2009. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? For them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let me just talk to you, church. It's important that we live clean lives before God. You know what causes division in the church? And you know what? It's a biblical division. It's a necessary division. And that is if we let down as members of this church in this area of living godly and holy. And let me just use this word. You know what? I don't care what the world does out there. Immorality is the norm, but morality ought to be the norm in the house of God. You know, heaven forbid I'd have to stop and deal with it. But this year, I don't want to. But you know what's going to cause us to have to come to a screeching halt here and have to, as a church, deal with sometimes this matter and cause a division and a dividing and a putting away? And that is in this area of fornication. Now, let me tell you this. The devil knows that. And the devil, every married man in here needs to listen to me. If you think that you've reached the point where the devil couldn't get you in this area of morals, you're foolish. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ladies, if you don't think, are you listening to me? What you better do is stay in love with your husband, stay in love with your wife. Well, we're just friends. You make your wife your friend. You make your husband your friend. Okay, let's stay morally pure. This is one of those instances we're going to deal with it, so I won't go into depth, but in 1 Corinthians, we're going to start teaching on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday night, we're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to run all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians, Lord willing, this year on Wednesday nights. One of the problems in this church was the fact that they had a soft view towards fornication, towards immorality. They let it go on, and they didn't correct it within the church, and they let members of the church participate in it, and nothing was done and nothing was said. Paul rebuked them for it. Now, I'm telling you, and I want you to listen good to me, we're not going to be the church of Corinth in that matter. We're going to deal with it. You know what part of this is supposed to do? It's supposed to give you one more reason not to. Now, we'll do it biblically. We'll do it as quietly as we can. But if there's somebody in this church thinks, and I'm going to send this loud and clear, somebody in this church thinks you're going to run around, be a member of this church and run around with hound dog morality, and nothing's ever going to be said, and you're not going to be dealt with, or you're not going to be churched over, you're wrong. Now, I'll come to you quietly. I'll come to you individually. I'll come to you with men, and we'll try to get things fixed. But if you insist in that lifestyle, we'll deal with it. But you know what that does? That causes the church to have to stop, and it causes, even though it's a biblical division, it causes a division. And it hurts the work of Christ. And the devil will talk you into the craziest things. And you can get yourself, your mind, and I mean, some of the thinking patterns and how effective the devil is. Listen to me. You stay in love with your wife. You stay in love with your husband. The grass isn't greener on the other side. You we've got kids in this room that are young adults in this room. Kids to me because I'm old, but young adults in this room that's not married. Guess what? You are to be pure. Pure. If you're not, I'm not going to ignore it. If you're a member of this church, I am not going to ignore it. You don't have a license to show up here and be a predator. Sorry. Nope. You don't get a cruise and troll around here and try to pull young ladies, or if you're a young lady, a young man, because you don't think this is a big deal. I'm not going to ignore it. I am going to deal with it. Now, is any of that going on? Not that I know of, but if I do know about it, it's going to be dealt with. You know why? Because everybody in here has kids and grandkids, and you ought to be there sitting out there thanking your preacher for taking the right biblical stand on them. It could be your kid. We work too hard to try to produce a safe environment for our young people to let somebody come in here that wants to be some little Casanova and go around try to woo girls, or girls woo young men into this area of immorality or indecency. And you know what? We're not going to ignore it. Now, yeah, it's easy to say amen, but are you going to still be saying amen if it's one of your kids I have to deal with? You better decide it's principle here. Well, blood's thicker than water. Well, Bible principle's thicker than blood. And I ain't just talking. Am I? What I'm saying is this. Keep yourselves pure. Stay accountable. Okay? You don't need an email address your wife doesn't know about. Be transparent. Keep everything above board. Keep everything crystal clear. If you have a secret from your wife, why in the world do you have a secret from your wife? If you have a secret from your husband, why in the world do you have a secret from your husband? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this matter of just guarding, God, guarding against the things that come in and destroy or hurt or hinder the work of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us to live right, do right, be right. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.